is everybody? Where are the ladies at? No, no girls, no fun, man. No girls, no fun. Girls, where are you? Girls, where are you? Oh, here is one. She is hot.
Hey, watch me.
Ugh, that's messed up. It's because I'm a dog, isn't it?
Oh, look. I really am a dog.
I was better looking than you.
Oh, I can't stand this. I'm driving in a car. I'm going to her house. We're gonna go far. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the final episode of Januagony, episode 234, maybe? The long-promised Love on a Leash, and you may be noticing it sounds like he's alone, and it's because I am, which is already insane because this episode was supposed to kick off the month. I made my wife watch this movie, in quotes, over the Christmas break, so we would have an episode, and then Rob and I ended up having After Last Season ready to go, so this just got moved and moved, and you'd think, how could we not pull this together when we watched the movie, I think a month ago today, December 27th, and we live in the same house, and I don't know, I feel like if you have to ask that question, you don't have two young children or full-time jobs or constant sickness running through the house. Pick one. Usually by the time the kids are down and it's quiet enough that we can record, we have enough time to watch one episode of something and go to bed. And I don't think motivation was high to talk about this thing. So I was like, you know what? Take a break. I think I can chat about Love on a Leash a little bit myself. I think I'm going to put a clip at the start. So this is a movie that's gaining a bit of a reputation online. It is a romantic comedy drama about a woman whose name I already forget, even though I just looked it up, who is unlucky in love. And if you watch the trailer for this, it makes it seem like the breeziest, most normal romantic comedy you've ever seen, but this is not that. And actually we learn it very quickly, because the clip I'm going to put at the start is on the version we watched, which is on, well, actually it was just on YouTube, but apparently if in the States you can watch this on Prime, and it's the same thing. There is no score. It is credited to someone that there is a score, but no music plays. It is just stark silence, and then occasionally, and if at this point you're just watching this blind, you have no idea that the dog can talk, or if it's a it's actually more of a Garfield situation where I don't think the humans can hear him. I don't know that other animals can. He never really tries to communicate with other animals, but we are treated to his internal monologue, and it's just chucks you right in. So it's just stark silence, line of dialogue from a dog, but when he speaks, you could kind of hear a little snippet of the music. And when played all together, and you'll hear this, I presume, at the start of the episode, it kind of just seems like when someone's in a recording booth and they're like, let me try another one. Okay, let me try this line. Just very disconnected, really jarring. And it's like that the whole movie. So there's never any score, but there are scenes where it is clearly intended to be like reliant on the music. Like there's a wacky chase sequence in the back half of this movie where, picture a Benny Hill scene where everyone's moving in fast motion, but in just total silence. It's art, basically, I guess. So this is 2011. I just pulled it up. The main character's name is, that can't be true. It says it's Jana, but that's the actor who plays the character. So I don't think that's right. Anyway, it doesn't matter. She's unlucky in love. She finds a dog. This dog, as luck would have it, used to be a dude, but was a dog in the human sense, and that he was, you know, sleeping around and a dick. So he gets turned into a dog, and then the park he's in happens to have a pond that knows the situation, or someone's in the pond who can help. It's not clear. And they say, oh, find a woman to fall in love with you and you'll become a person again. And he goes home with our lead character, who this says is Jana, but that can't be true. And they, about 25 minutes in, he's revealed, oh shit, I'm not a dog, I'm a dude. And she's like, I mean, that's weird, but you're attractive, so I guess let's bone. And so for most of the movie, she's just trying to make it work with a guy who's only a guy at night, but then in the day, he's a dog. And like, they do, you know, the sex stuff, but I feel like the foundation of a relationship where, okay, during the night we can hang out and be a couple and do the sex stuff, but then in the day, I guess, like in the morning when we wake up, I'll throw some, you know, dog food in a bowl, we'll take you outside, you can poop, and then when you become a person again at night, we'll bone. The movie doesn't address that kind of stuff. It's also really weird because, okay, well, actually, no, let me back up. This movie is 18 different movies combined into the first 30 minutes. Where, you know how a movie can get bogged down with, like, oh, did they really need the subplot about the friend, or did they really need the subplot about this? This, at least the first 30 minutes of this movie, are that, but not spread out over the course of the entire movie. An element is introduced and then resolved, and then another element is introduced and then resolved, and it just kind of goes on like that. So there's the bit where the dog's trying to make her fall in love with him so he can become a person. But then also there's a whole thing at work where, like, her whole, you know, oh, she has to be dating more guys. So then there's this, she dates a guy whose mom is very domineering and wants her to lose a bunch of weight. And then she dates a guy and he turns out to be gay and wants to get married as just, you know, a front because his parents are super traditional. And then her boss comes over and, like, he's drunk and tries to assault her. And then the dog gets, he's picking clothes out at her work. She works at, like, a used clothing store. And then he picks out a dress and everyone's super, super impressed. And then there's this dog talent agency or dog talent agent. And that's not a fucking job. And he's like, oh, shit, that dog picked up a dress with his mouth and handed it to you. And you liked the dress he picked. We need to represent him. That's not a talent. I figure, like, if I put any animal in front of any pile of clothes, chances are good he's going to pick one up with his mouth and carry it somewhere. So then that's a plot, and then that comes back later, and it's that she has a friend. It's just one thing after another, and it's really disorienting, and everything in the movie is green. She wears green. Her apartment is green. Apparently that means horniness in China. Green represents horniness. The movie was written and directed by Fen Tian, I'm going to say is the name. It apparently was written in a completely different language and Google translated into English, and then the direction for the actors, and you can probably hear this in the clip I hypothetically posted, they're all delivered in a way that humans they don't talk like that. Like, the enunciations are all weird. And there is an interview with Stephen Kramer Glickman, who did the voice of the dog, not the actor who plays him as a human, which is another weird part of the movie, because the human version is, you know, oh, I love you so much, and I'm such a sensitive guy, and I love you, and da-da-da. Although he keeps fucking turning into a dog during the day, even though she loves him back. And then also, apparently at night, he becomes a person, but there are scenes where he's out in the middle of the day and he's still a dude and it doesn't make any sense. When he's a dog, it is a completely different personality, and he seems to fucking hate the main character. Everything, I think it's just the voice actor goofing on the movie. Like, he acknowledges why is everything green, but he's always, like, calling her ugly and how, like, oh, why would anyone want to be with you? Which completely goes against, like, and then the next scene will be like, oh, I need to make her fall in love with me. It's just really, really strange. God, I mean, it's, you know, obviously just me rolling solo, so there's not, it's a little harder to talk about it, but it's just, like, there's a whole thing with her friend that doesn't make any sense. We're in, you know, we just did the Catwoman episode, and we were making fun of the best friend character, because her only role in that movie is, you gotta get that dick, you gotta get that dick. And here it's the same thing. The best friend's like, oh, when are you going to get that dick? And then she does. And the friend is like, how dare you? I thought you were this, you know, chaste virgin. And now you're getting that dick. And then she storms out. And then the main girl tries to kill herself at one point. And then during the scene, because like this guy comes, her boss comes over, tries to sexually assault her. She kicks him out. And then she freaks out and takes a bunch of pills and tries to kill herself. And while that's happening, the dog is singing a song about being king of the castle. I should probably edit that into the end of this episode. But nothing is happening in a way that makes sense. Like, the editing is all over the place. There'll be a scene of dialogue, and while the scene, like, while the line of dialogue is finishing, it will cut to another scene, or it'll just be like, okay, here's the dog, and the dog who randomly sings songs. I really hope I put one of those in here. He just randomly sings songs all throughout the movie. As the dog is finishing the line dialogue, it'll like cut to a streetlight and then cut to a building and then cut to two people, and none of it means anything. It's just, again, it's just, it's art. That's the best way that I can describe it. One nice thing is, though, the two lead actors fell in love, apparently, working on this movie, and are extraordinarily embarrassed by it and absolutely refuse to talk about it, which makes complete sense. I'm just going to read the IMDb kind of about the history of the movie. I did watch an interview about it, but that was after we watched it. So memory is a little fuzzy, so I'm just going to read this. The story behind the film was writer-director Fen Tian was living in China writing and producing movies for stage and film. But she really wanted to direct her own baby. At the age of 44, she moved to the U.S. with only $50 and barely knowing any English. For money, she worked as a housekeeper for 24 families, but she was terrible. That's a weird detail to throw in with no... like, who? According to who? That's very strange, IMDb. Let's take that bit with a grain of salt. Though her drive to become a film director never... like, we can't judge her filmmaking... like, though her drive to become a film director never waned, with steady dedication... Fen Tian was the first student from China accepted into the directing program at AFI. For 16 years, Tian tried to finance her own movie. The script for Love on a Leash won an award from the Taiwan government for best script and received production money, which is how Ang Lee got Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon made. It's a lot of backstory. That was the only time in history that a foreigner received funding from the Taiwan government. But for political reasons at the time, Fen Tian could not accept the honor. Okay, here's where we're actually getting to the movie stuff, I guess. A couple of years later, Fen brought an American cast and crew to China to make the film, but the funding fell through before they could shoot a single frame. Fen lost all her savings. About 4 years later, she then took it to her local church for funding. She lied to the priest, telling him it was about a woman who uses the power of Jesus to find love. It is very much not that movie, in case anyone was wondering. He gives her $15,000 through the church to make the movie under one condition: that he sees the finished product before it's released. Tian agreed and went to make her movie. After filming, the priest met with Tian to see the movie and found out what it really was. He was very upset, demanded his money back, and condemned the film. Yeah, this is like the least Jesus-y movie. It's just about a woman who like wants to get that dick and then gets it, but then that during the day that dick becomes a dog, and it doesn't seem to be much of a problem. What else? The guy who voices the dog asked for his name to be taken off of the movie, which makes complete sense. Okay, so it wasn't Google translated. A service was paid to translate the script from Chinese into English. Actors would offer notes to make the dialogue sound more natural, but Tian refused to let them change a single word. The lead character has a bunch of acne, because apparently not having sex leads to acne. There's the thing I was saying about the color green. Like, I cannot fully express how much stuff in this movie is green. We also tried to turn this into a drinking game, which was going to be a running theme throughout Januagony, but we started way too strong. The rules for this, about halfway through, we had to stop playing the drinking game. It was like anytime the lead character cries, anytime the dog sings a song, anytime it transitions to a new scene by just randomly showing ducks. And you read that rule and you go, what the fuck? How many times could that possibly happen? And it's minimum 12. It will just transition like, oh, how do we get from this scene where she's leaving her apartment to the scene where she's at work? And the editor apparently just constantly went, I don't know, I got that footage of them ducks, and just kept doing it. Yeah, there's not a whole lot to go in, like, I've done a lot of other facts here. It's also off of the editor's resume, which makes complete sense, because this is, like, as an editor, showing anyone this movie as proof of concept would be the fastest guaranteed way to not get work. It'd be like trying to get a job as a nanny and like, oh, here's video of me at my last job, and it's just you punching a kid in the face. Just the quickest guaranteed, okay, you are clearly not right for the job that you're trying to do. The editing for this movie is just, I feel like if you just gave footage to an AI, I don't know, apparently those motherfuckers are getting smart these days. You gave it to an archaic AI and said, edit this, it would just cobble the scenes together and spit something out, and you'd probably just get this. I find it hard to believe a real human being was attached to the other side of this. That's kind of Love on a Leash. You know what? I mean, wife should at least give her thoughts. Hang on.
Wife, I'm recording the Love on a Leash episode. What did you think of that movie? Do you think it was fun bad or just bad bad? That's not the answer to the question. What? I said that's not the answer to the question. I feel like it starts fun bad and then by the end it's just kind of boring. Yeah. Okay, cool. Alright, you all heard that. I think I can agree with that consensus, because we always end these with, was the movie fun bad or just bad bad? And to recap, after last season, a little bit of fun bad, but a lot of bad bad. Cool as ice, fun bad, pretty much throughout the whole thing. What do we do in the middle? The Pest, bad bad, Catwoman. It's kind of bad. It's kind of uninteresting. Love on a Leash has a very fascinating backstory and opening 45 minutes. But once he's revealed, hey, I'm actually a dude, like, it's just a lot of the same things. They're like, oh, it's just the editing is crazy. Oh, the this, like, it loses that. I'm now in this moment realizing, should I spoil the ending? Because the ending to this thing is fucking crazy. There's the middle stretch from, say, the 50 minute mark to about the 70 minute, 40 to 70 minute mark. Like, that middle half hour is just kind of whatever. If you really don't want to hear the end of this movie, stop listening right now, but I'm going to tell you the end, because holy shit. So the dog, whose real name is apparently Alvin Flang, but she went, oh, this is another weird thing. She calls the dog Prince, and when he's a person, she still calls him Prince, and I'd feel like you want to separate the dog portion of your day with the sexy human part of your day as much as possible, but whatever, that's just me. So anyway, he's hit by a car and he fucking dies. The dog. So that's that. You're like, oh shit. Okay, how are they going to figure this out? Because there's still like 10 minutes of movie left. So then he dies as a dog. She grows old and alone. And then her friend comes back at the very end to see the apartment, because she's like, oh, my friend used to live there. I'm going to go see the apartment that's for rent. And it turns out, oh shit, she's still there. So it's the two of them in bad old woman makeup. They make peace, and then someone else comes to see the apartment, and it's in shadow, but fucking obviously it's the dude. And he's like, I'm back because of reasons. I think it's implied that when the dog died, he was reborn and then had to grow up again. And then when he grew up, he maybe got the memory back of her and went to go find her. I was like, well, how's this going to work? Because she's going to be dead soon. But then they kiss, and then they're young again.
it doesn't matter, but it's an outlandish ending. Like, as soon as the dog gets hit by a car, which is supposed to be a big dramatic moment, but it's so out of nowhere, you can't help but burst out laughing. Yeah, is it worth a watch? It's worth, like, go on YouTube, it's there, and watch just the opening 5 minutes. It's baffling. And then you're probably good, to be honest. Like, it's an insane movie. Drinking and, like, enjoying some of it, there's fun to be had with some friends, I think. It's probably closer to after last season, where most of it is kind of fun, bad, but not enough to sustain it throughout the whole thing. It's a strong note to close the month out on, because it's just such a weird thing. So yeah, that's Love on a Leash. That's Janu Agony. Thing I'm currently enjoying, GoldenEye is back, and I think it still holds up, despite what the internet seems to be saying. It's just weird because it's on Xbox and Switch. Switch has online multiplayer, Xbox doesn't. Xbox has controls that mirror a first-person shooter of modern times, Switch doesn't. So you kind of need to have both. It's very strange. So that's probably what I'm going to be enjoying tonight. Thank you, everyone, as always, for listening. I know this was kind of a weird episode, but hey, look, sometimes we all need breaks. And at least it wasn't like the last time I rolled solo, where it was just me talking about how sad I am for 15 minutes. Boning month is coming up. Lots of potentials there, so I'm actually not going to say what we're going to be doing, because there's a few different choices, so stay tuned for that. Shit, I guess I should be taking us out with a classic quote from Love on a Leash. So I'm just going to hit up IMDb and see what they got going. Apparently at one point someone says, "Dad, I'm a medical doctor." I don't remember that. None of these are very good. You know what? I'm just going to let the movie do it and take you out with that King of the Castle song that the dog sings right after his owner slash lover slash friend slash roommate tries to kill herself. Good night, everybody.
Now I'm the King of the Castle. King of the Castle! King of the Castle that's also a dog and lives in a house that is green. What is that about?